to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks.
Thanks be to God. Thank you. Thank you, Anne, very much. Three experiences of life with Jesus. Shepherd, broadly speaking, in Psalm 23, look for the I word. Exclusively, but broadly speaking, I lack nothing. I will fear no evil. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Three experiences of life with Jesus as shepherd. The first one, I lack nothing. When in verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, the result is I lack nothing. Now, I hear these words, and in my natural, sin-shadowed way, my response is to go, Lord, have you not seen my list? My list of lack? All those things that I don't have in my life at the moment, those things that I'm missing or that I want more of? I wonder what's on your list this evening. Life would be better if. I lack nothing. Why do I lack nothing? Because I have the Lord Jesus as my shepherd. That's the logic, right? I lack nothing because I have the Lord Jesus as my shepherd. Jesus is the one who opens up and shares his relationship with God the Father to us. He's the one who says, you know, look at the birds of the air. Look at the flowers in the field. And look how your heavenly Father feeds them, clothes them. Don't worry. Focus on what matters. Know that through Jesus, we come to know our God as our Heavenly Father, a Heavenly Father who has wisdom and love that is far greater than we can begin to get our heads around. And it means he doesn't just give us what we want, nor does he only give us what we think we need when we think we need it. He's far too wise, far too loving for that. But Jesus doesn't just meet our practical needs. Perhaps even more significantly, he restores our souls. He gives rest to our souls. The psalm, doesn't it, famously speaks of green pastures and quiet waters and right paths. Jesus, remember, is the one who says, come to me. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. In Jesus, we find a forgiveness and a welcome that gives deep soul rest. And we can lay down that exhausting work of trying to prove ourselves. From that exhausting work of trying to navigate our way through life on our own, by ourselves. And as I read in the book I mentioned earlier recently, a reminder, there is no greener grass anywhere else than with Jesus and with the words that he speaks. I lack nothing. Second experience of life with Jesus as your shepherd, I will fear no evil. Rest for our souls doesn't mean an easy path, does it? I mean, Psalmist David's quite clear, isn't he? He talks about verse 4, walking through the darkest valley. Saying, I will fear no evil, clearly means there are plenty of things to fear. It's not a shortage of those things, but the question is, what's got your attention? The things to make us fearful, or the one who's with us? We say, I will fear no evil. Why? Because, for you are with me. Jesus, our shepherd, takes us through these valleys. We might have questions of why that happens. Why does he choose that route? Maybe you are in the darkness right now and you're finding it very, very, very hard to see that Jesus is with you. But I want to say to you this evening, he is there and he's not lost. He's not suddenly thinking, oh, we've taken a wrong turn. He's not fearful. He is with you. And take comfort from what he's got in his hands. He's got the tools of being a shepherd, hasn't he? He's got a rod to protect you, to fend off the enemies. He's got a staff in his hand to direct you. Know that in that valley, Jesus is in control. You might notice in your Bibles, or there might be something on your phone, there's a footnote in verse 4. Sometimes that phrase, the darkest valley, is sometimes translated the valley of the shadow of death. And know the one who's with us, leading us through, taking us through the valley of the shadow of death, is the one who has experienced death himself. That death we deserve on the cross. And then wonderfully, gloriously, was raised again. See, Jesus is the only person in the whole of the universe and the whole of human history who's passed through death itself, come out the other side. And will lead anyone who will follow him through the same way. Which means we get that third experience of life with Jesus as your shepherd. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. After a long day at work, or I don't know, if you've been away on holiday and you come home, it's nice to be home again. I remember, I think it was about age 5, we'd gone away for the weekend in somewhere in Wales. And classically, when you have a very ancient pale blue Peugeot, the suspension broke. And there we are, slightly stranded in Wales, and the AA couldn't fix it, and they were going to tow the car home overnight. And the 5 of us that were bundled into equivalent of a 4-seater AA car all the way to Birmingham, got home. Thought the right thing to do would be offer the person who drove us a cup of tea, go in the house, there's nothing there. Everything's gone. They've taken the kettle. Taken the mugs, the teaspoons, they'd taken the sugar. They'd even taken my Easter eggs. Still working on forgiveness here. It's not how home should be, is it? Home, at its best, is safe. It's a place of belonging and welcome. It's a place of joy and laughter, of eating. It's a place of life. And it's why it's so, so, so painfully difficult when your experience of home is not that. But our experience with our homes, even in the best times, are only ever a pointer. A pointer that we're not just made for relationship with God, we're made for relationship with God in his home. And we live east of Eden. We are homesick. Our homes now are temporary. Even the best of homes now just give us a glimpse of what's to come. Well, it talks about it here, doesn't it? Psalm 23, the feasting, the blessing, the overflowing cups. And it's why Jesus' words in John 14, don't they give us comfort when he says, my Father's house has many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back. And I will take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. Do you see that in Psalm 23, the three experiences of life that you get with Jesus as your shepherd? I lack nothing. I will fear no evil. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Okay, sounds good. Too good. Is it too good to be true? Is that your experience regularly as a follower of Jesus? Maybe you think, well, that's probably true for other Christians, but it's not true for me. It can't be true for me, can it? I mean, it can only be true if I keep my act together, right? I feel like I keep my life on the going and keep things on the straight and narrow. I want to say this is the experience of life that is yours permanently when Jesus is your shepherd. And I think in Psalm 23, there's a key that unlocks things. In my pocket, I've got this key here. That key is my bike lock key. It unlocks my bike so that I can ride it. If you want those three experiences of Jesus as your shepherd, there is a key, I think, in Psalm 23. That unlocks it. It gives us real confidence that those three experiences of life are yours. Not just for other people, they're yours. And it's 4 words. So 4 words long and 4 words we easily miss. Where are they? End of verse 3. For his name's sake. Wherever we turn in this psalm, just as we wherever we turn in life, the Lord is there. He's ahead of us. He's leading us into the rest. He's guiding us along the right paths. He's there beside us walking in the valley of the shadow of death. And he's behind us. He's chasing after us with goodness and love. He's there. And so we're lacking nothing. We're fearing no evil. We're looking forward to dwelling in the house of the Lord forever. And we discover none of those things have got anything to do with how well we are doing. These have not to do with how well you're doing. The confidence we have in those three experiences of life, they don't depend on you. They don't depend on me. You see, God has connected the reputation of his name to doing those things for us when we belong to Jesus. It's for his name's sake. That's why you lack nothing. That's why you get to fear no evil. That's why you have the hope of dwelling in the house of the Lord forever. So if those are the three experiences, if that is the key to unlocking it, can I just offer three practical ways we might live this out in the coming days? First one, will you lie down and go to sleep? Going to sleep each night, I think, is one of the greatest ways we show trust in our Lord. Why? Because, I don't know about you, but sleeping, Tom, is capable of nothing. It's showing full trust in God. You see, the temptation I think we live in, particularly in our age, is just to keep going and we trim down sleep. We get up early. We go to bed late. There's more to do. We don't want to miss out. See, when Jesus is your shepherd, remember, he's the one who refreshes your soul. He gives you that soul rest. You don't have to prove yourself by doing more. Ultimately, you're never going to miss out on anything. Other times, I guess, we miss out on sleep because, or the head gets filled with worry, doesn't it? Or perhaps it's because actually we just need to escape some of the realities around us. So we escape into a screen. And it might mean that we have to work really hard at how we go to bed and how we go to sleep. How do we live out something of Psalm 23? We lie down and go to sleep. And I could say maybe something about having a day off in a week, giving it to the Lord, trusting him. He refreshes us. Or maybe that time listening to our shepherd's voice daily. So the first practical one is lie down and go to sleep. Second practical thing, and I'm taking the risk of sounding very much like a school teacher in the corridor between lessons. Walk, don't run. I can remember the feeling still vividly. As a teenager, I would walk back from my friend's house around the corner, not a long walk. I knew the route very well, but late at night in the dark, probably not walking, start running. All these mad inventions in my head of muggers and murderers who would be behind me. When we get fearful, we start to panic and we start to run. Notice how the psalmist is in the dark valley. See, he's walking, verse 4. Even though I walk. Somebody who walks shows that they have got confidence, they have got comfort, and that they are calm. It's easy, isn't it, to feel overwhelmed? Easy to feel like, well, we just got to fix what's wrong and sort it out and just focus on that, and then we can go back to the important things in life. And we walk. With Jesus as your shepherd, you can walk through the darkest valley with calmness and confidence. Third practical thing, gratitude in every direction. Gratitude in every direction. Are you somebody who's a glass half full or half empty person? Well, if Jesus is your shepherd, I'm afraid neither of those are really your option. You should be a cup overflowing person. Isn't that what the psalmist says? Your cup overflows. That's not to deny hardships. That's not to deny suffering. The Bible is far too honest about life to allow us to pretend that's not going to be our experience. But it's also very honest that when Jesus is your shepherd, you have everything that you need and more. And so we can give thanks. And it means we can look back on our life and events in our lives. And sometimes we need quite a lot of distance, quite a lot of time to be able to look back and go, yes, I can see how the Lord was at work. I can see how he was chasing after me, pursuing me with his goodness and love, even if in the moment it felt like God was a million miles away. And we can give thanks. We can give thanks to God for those strange moments and those hard moments in our life. And it means when we look ahead, we do so with excitement and thankfulness. Because when we're reminded, every moment of joy that we get, every taste of home as it should be, every glimpse of it is speaking of what's to come. Gratitude in every direction. So I think Psalm 23, and you know, we could be here for hours if I wanted us to be. There's so much here. But three experiences of life with Jesus as your shepherd, you lack nothing. You'll fear no evil. You will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. How can you be absolutely confident that those things are true for you? Because it's not about you, it's about his name, for his name's sake. So lie down, go to sleep, walk, don't run. Gratitude in every direction. What I'm going to do now is just give us a few moments of quiet to maybe reread the psalm. What is it? It feels like the Holy Spirit is nudging you, hitting you with. And then after a few moments, we'll hear Psalm 23 read again, but it will be on a video on the screen. And then we're going to do something slightly different that we don't normally do. There is an opportunity for anybody here who would like to lead us out loud in a prayer. I can bring a microphone to you to do so. Maybe that's not for you and you'd rather stay quiet. That's fine. But if there's anybody here who's like, actually, I want to pray something specifically from Psalm 23, maybe just wave a hand. And we'll spend a bit of time being led in prayer by one another. So let's just take a moment to be still and to be quiet.